This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. And experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
Score Update Studio brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on those dental implants. Do it today. Just 35 seconds into last night's contest, Team USA jumped out to a 1-0 lead over Sweden, but Sweden would go ahead 2-1 after one period, and 2-1 was the final Monday night. In all things considered, it didn't matter for Team USA. They had already punched their ticket for Thursday night's final in the Four Nations faceoff. But now, Team USA is dealing with a couple of injuries to the Tkachuk brothers, among others. They will play Canada in a rematch Thursday night because Canada won 5-3 Monday afternoon, getting goals from Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. So that game Thursday night in Boston, Canada, USA, 7 o'clock, four-letter network. USA a slight favorite at -109. Total 5.5 pucks per our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois. Number 11, Wisconsin, hosting the Illini tonight, who will be without Morez Johnson Jr., out with a wrist break after making a spectacular play on defense against Michigan State in a loss on Saturday. The Bulls, they're back on the court Thursday, taking on the Knicks in New York. You'll hear it right here on the Score. Speaking of right here on the Score, Friday, 1:55 in the afternoon, Cubs baseball is on the air. Cubs and Dodgers playing this hour. Brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It is difficult to think that way, especially when you've been with our organization throughout your whole career, and knowing that, you know, there might come an end to that. But at the same time, you have to understand that this is a business, and there is not much that you can do about it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the words of the translated words of Luis Robert Jr. of the Chicago White Sox.
Billy Russo earning his money yet again, and Luis Robert Jr. expressing his desire to be with the Sox long term. Also, during that interview, expressed the desire to not get hurt this spring. And so he'll be careful. Very careful. I wonder, after hearing from Luis Robert Jr. yesterday, and I don't want to be too overly cynical, but
oh boy.
don't oh boy me. No, you already oh boy me this morning.
That's
earlier.
An unbelievable setup.
It's just a setup. Hey. I'm just saying, if you're the Sox, are you, even though you'd be selling low, and I get the why you don't want to do that, but
yeah, just get rid of him.
Do you want to trade him before he gets injured? Because if a guy's being that careful to protect himself against injury, so often we have seen with the White Sox specifically, guys get injured trying to avoid injury. Now, is that's not cynical. That's a memory. That's my memory.
Yeah.
That's not my cynicism.
I don't know what to say. Should they give him away for nothing?
Or find out what the best offer is, how many teams are still interested.
Seriously.
Angels need a center fielder.
This is a guy who was an all-star, has got that kind of talent. We know how good a player he is, but he's had all these horrible, you know, knick-knack, Patty Whack, give a guy a pulled muscle. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just been, and that's the whole bloody team. It's been one pull after another, and you know, to the point where guys can't run fast to first base because they're going to blow out whatever. It has been awful. I think you're better off seeing if you can get something for him, get something more for him than is offered now. For instance, let's say that he doesn't go down. Let's say that the non-injury plan works.
And then you get to the
trade deadline.
He's immensely talented.
He's immensely talented, and maybe there's three bad hamstrings in center fielders. Maybe some kind of – now all of a sudden, like –
You know, I'm not going to argue with that.
The Cubs want a backup center fielder?
No, they want to. He'd be a starter.
Well, there's one on the other side of town.
He'd start for you.
I understand.
He would be a guy that, if he was healthy and you trade for him, he would start over PCA in center field. If you're the Cubs and you trade, that's a hypothetical for another time.
Yeah, but we've talked about that.
Earlier. I mean, yeah. When healthy, Luis Robert Jr. is an all-star caliber outfielder. I just don't know about the part when healthy. So I do wonder, there's risk involved in going into the season.
I think, and I will say this, I think there is less risk involved with Luis Robert Jr. than there is with Eloy Jimenez, than there is with Yoan Moncada.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
I feel that he has been painted with other players that were on the White Sox that kind of gave way to
part of the infirmary crew.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's not fair.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair.
Okay.
But I will say this: that I think, you know, we have a texter checking in saying that the Cubs should have signed Yoan Moncada a month ago before he wound up in Anaheim, and I don't argue with that. Yoan Moncada, to me, I know he's hurt all the time, but he can play third base.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good defensive third baseman. If you want a guy to man that position, he's your guy.
Well, I appreciate that you're giving Luis Robert Jr.'s health the benefit of the doubt, but he only played in 100 games last year, which concerns me. And before that, 145, and that was the first time he had surpassed 100 games in his career.
And that's when he was an all-star.
And he was an all-star. And yep. If he could play 145 games this year, he will be an all-star. He will be.
I agree.
And he'll be a threat, and he'll be an asset to whatever team he represents, whatever uniform he wears. I just don't know getting there.
And if he can play that many games, the Sox will be at least 45 wins.
See, now you're being cynical.
I'm just joking.
They're going to win more than 45 games.
I know.
They're going to win at least 50.
Now you're back again. All right, we got to get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Our guy Ron. Ron's on the south side. Hey, Ron, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Mully. I was hoping we didn't have to hear those two guys' names that you just... I told you all that last week, and you just blew it.
I'm sorry. I just am saying that I feel like Luis Robert Jr. is getting he's getting blamed for other guys' injuries. That's all. He's had enough of his own, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, two things. But that was the last thing... I was hoping maybe his interpreter got it wrong. I didn't want to hear that he's going to be kind of taking it. That's what it looked like he was doing.
Yes.
At the end of the season last year. Yeah. It's just, and maybe it's not reality, but it's just a perception. But as soon as they can get rid of him, but I really do think, guys, they're going to have to wait and see if he's healthy. You're not getting much him right now. I don't know what Chris gets. I think it was with Cincinnati, and they said he was asking too much. So, and I'm really ready for him to go too. With all of them, him, the other two, just all of that. It's just bad memories. But Lastly, as far as the guy that they brought in, Mullen, Dave, and I agree with you, but I don't know any of you guys. I don't want to see Michael Taylor, Joey Gallo. I don't want to see any retread. I want to see, can Dominic Fletcher play? Miguel Vargas, Chase, Meerdrop. I mean, if you're going to be better, when you bring in those kind of guys,
right,
you might be, what, 5, 6, 7 games better? What is that?
Well, honestly, Ron, I think that they've got a lot of guys that aren't keepers that are on that team right now.
They're candidates to be flipped. Well, they could be assets and prospects.
That's what Joey Gallo could be.
If a guy
can hit home runs, and he can hit home runs, if he hits enough of them, maybe you could flip him.
Another guy
not making any money on a minor league deal, right, with a camp invite.
Yeah, he's a camp invite. These are veterans that you bring in to basically serve as placeholders. They're placeholders until your own prospects develop, and you hope that they do quickly. Chase Meidroth is a good example, Ron. You mentioned him. He came over in the trade for Garrett Crochet, part of the deal that got you, that really replenished your farm system. He could very likely, very easily, be your opening day second baseman. What a lot of Sox fans would say, who? Chase Meidroth. Learn how to say it.
No,
he's going to probably be here. But, Molly, your point about the anonymity of this infield is well taken, because you've got guys who don't have jobs. Meidroth is competing at second base with maybe Lenin Sosa. We've heard him before.
Yeah, of course.
Shortstop battle is between Jacob Amaya, Brooks Baldwin, and Colson Montgomery. We've heard of Montgomery before.
We've heard of him as a prospect.
Yes. But not as a...
But, I mean, he's typical Sox prospect. We heard about him as like this can't miss on fire. Oh, he's going, nah, he's not. Oh, he had a bad year in the month. He's going the wrong way. Wasn't he in like the top 10 at one point?
At one point he was. And then he had a bad year last year.
39 or something.
Arizona Fall League showing that regained some confidence. Now he's the guy whose job it is to lose. It's his job to lose at shortstop.
Third base.
He's not a third baseman. You know why? You know who's at third base? Well, Josh Rojas is the guy they brought over from
Seattle.
He's a veteran. Seattle also was with the Diamondbacks. He's 30, okay. I think. You've got Brian Ramos is your guy who is a prospect who still is waiting to develop. But
does he have
some flash.
Leg injury or something?
I don't know. He's probably hurt. But your third guy is
Miguel Vargas.
Yes. You've got three candidates at third base. There's no room for Colson Montgomery.
Miguel Vargas was traded for in the deal with the
He was
Dodgers
the guy at the giveaway. The great
did,
give the great
he did nothing.
Trade deadline giveaway.
He didn't do a thing.
Kopech went to the Dodgers.
Yeah, and he didn't do it. And
Fetty went to the Cardinals.
Yes.
And you got Vargas back in return.
And he's done nothing. I'm just saying.
He had a really bad
end of the year. And Rojas is a guy that can field a little bit but can't hit, right? And Ramos was highly considered.
Josh Rojas is a very good glove guy.
Well, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, you could use that Montgomery's imaginary bat if you moved him to third.
Well, you don't want to move him anywhere yet.
If Ozzy says he's a third baseman, he's a third baseman.
Ozzy said that about 2 years ago. Maybe it's still true. But if he's your best shortstop, he's your best shortstop. And they project him as a shortstop. It's going to be his job to lose at shortstop. If he is moved to third, something's gone wrong. Because you have three guys.
Are you following the White Sox?
Yeah, I know. Something could go wrong. But it's funny because Jacob Amaya is also a candidate at shortstop. I think I mentioned him. But there's a lot of anonymity in that infield. There's a lot of unproven players in camp. May the best.
I've heard of the outfielders.
Fielders win. Well, we have. They're professional.
Yeah,
proven guys.
I like that. That Tauchman. I think he's a pro. I like him.
Tauchman is
a nice.
Is he an everyday guy?
Probably
platoon
not.
Guy.
Platoon guy.
But he's a professional hitter.
He can platoon with the Cuban Otani.
I don't think Oscar Colas is going to make the team.
He's on the team.
I hate to disappoint you.
He's in camp.
But when Ron right says, field. And we love Ron, but when Ron says he wants more bats for Dominic Fletcher, I think Dominic Fletcher is pushing 30, isn't he not? I mean, this isn't like a prospect we're waiting to see develop. I think that he's a guy.
Wasn't he a prospect from Arizona, right?
He's a 27-year-old prospect.
Yeah, I mean, just saying.
I think
really
after 25, you kind of write guys off. So as far as prospects,
me,
yes,
I never write anyone off.
Dominic Fletcher might be fine, but the Sox are going to be a team that They've got
Benintendi will be playing DH, right? Haven't we decided on that?
There'd be a lot of turnover on this roster.
That bothered me when they said that the other day.
What?
They want him to bat every day. And I was kind of like, yeah, well, maybe not against left-handed pitching.
Well, you need to get him every day. You need to bat him every day. No, he's got to.
No, just because
you know
contract?
What you're paying him.
Oh, I know.
He's an everyday player. He's not a
richest
platoon player.
Free agent contract.
No.
And sucks.
He's got to hit left-handers. He's got to hit left-handers. He's got to face them.
Have you not seen him?
I have seen him plenty. I know the options too. What's the alternative? What is your alternative better? No.
So let me ask you: would you cut Andrew Vaughn or would you let him play first base?
I'd let him play first base. Cutting him? Are you crazy?
No.
You have to get something out of Andrew Vaughn this year. And if not...
Could you trade him to the Cubs as a backup first baseman?
He'd probably start at first base for the Cubs.
No, he wouldn't. Are you nuts? Have you watched him?
The Cubs love Michael Busch.
It's a silly debate, but okay.
That the Cubs love Michael Busch, that's a silly debate?
No, that...
Just want to clarify.
Andrew Vaughn would start, or Michael Busch wouldn't. They might platoon. I don't know. But
Vaughn-y,
I think
no goody.
Andrew Vaughn is not somebody that White Sox are going to trade, cut, or give up on. They can't. They're not in a position to do that. The Cubs do love Michael Busch, though. I will agree. Dustin and I are on the same page there.
8:14.
Come on.
It's almost 8:15.
Almost.
Why are you guys so down on me today? Why are you guys so down on me?
No one's down on you. Not at all. No one's down on
you. A little bit.
Ever since my hockey take at 5:35, I was grumpy.
Wow, you came out swinging.
I just was mad.
Ooh. We're now a little past 8:15.
All right.
Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back, Mully.
Thank you, buddy.
Couple things. With the hockey fighting, I don't think you're going to see any fights unless somebody goes down 2 goals early or it's a blowout late.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have some White Sox happiness here. I've got a hot take for you.
Okay.
The young pitching staff of the White Sox is going to come out a-blazing, even though the bats might not, but they're going to be playing a lot of cold weather games outside, so the pitching might help keep the games close. And with the new car smell of Will Venable at manager, the White Sox in April will end April as a 500 team. Of course, then they'll go on to lose about 100 games after.
Nice, Jeff. Nice.
That's my hot take.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I think that's probably overly optimistic, even though I do believe that this young pitching at one point in time will be strong enough to get off to a good start in April.
Can we throw some names out?
Yeah.
Who are we talking about? Because I think their best pitchers in camp are Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith, neither of whom is going to make the roster.
They're not going to make the roster coming out of...
But they're throwing pills, right?
I agree, and there's every reason to believe. There's every reason to have hope in this young pitching. That's unrelated to what we're going to see in April, because I think you're right. Noah Schultz, by all accounts, is as good as advertised. Hagen Smith, same deal. Left-handed power arm. So those guys eventually will make an impact, but we just don't know when. And Drew Thorpe,
I think
he's going to be an impactful pitcher, just don't know when. We saw glimpses of that last year.
He threw yesterday, right?
It was a good sign.
Yeah.
Good sign.
But David, I mean, like, you know, so Jonathan Cannon.
Sean Burke.
Sean Burke. Perez, their starting pitching are a collection of guys.
Iriarte that
are not throwing speed. They're guys that can spin the ball
pitch
a bit. They're going to have to pitch, and that means weak contact, and then they're going to have good defense behind them.
Davis Martin, but
this is what I'm saying. All the guys that you're describing, I think that they're not. It's not like they have somebody that's going to be consistently overpowering anyone.
They have no ace. Martin Perez might be your opening day starter. Jonathan Cannon might be your opening day starter.
I think they should start Cannon over Perez because he's a Sox guy and he's a
part
guy
of the future.
I'm just saying.
Give him a frame of reference. He has, you know, something to build on. What,
Nick Nastrini, is he still
Don't know. Don't know what version you're going to get of him because he could be really good on one outing and then really inconsistent the next. So that's part of being a young pitcher. Not all these prospects will develop, but I do believe you have in Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz two guys that are cornerstones.
Yeah.
Those are guys that you can build a rotation around.
I'm not arguing.
6'11 lefty? Are you kidding me? That's,
I told you, he's the big unit.
6'9 or 6'11?
I think he's 6'9.
I don't want to exaggerate. 6'9?
I think he's 6'9. Okay. Yeah. But he can dunk.
I would hope
either
so.
Either way. You would
can you imagine being 6'9 and not being able to dunk?
Well, we've seen guys like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Playing on the Bulls. No, 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 no.
But the
they
pitching
don't make the NBA.
If the White Sox are 500 after April, then the young pitching will have been a big part of that. I do believe what Jeff's alluding to, and I think what we all agree on, is some good stuff coming out of Camelback too. Brian Bannister is highly respected,
right?
And a guy who, as their director of pitching, is making an impact. And you wonder, is it throughout the organization now, what kind of depth you're creating by having the similar message, the similar approach, and all of the talent? Because they do have a lot of talent in their young pitching.
James Feegan wrote a great story on him and on their pitching and what they're doing in for Sox Machine that I read yesterday. It was excellent.
He's doing an excellent job chronicling every step of the way because these young prospects, you do have to do a little digging to find out the difference between guys on the roster, Iriarte, and names that you just don't immediately recognize their backgrounds, but okay, yeah, he came over in this trade. Oh, he came over in that trade.
Right.
They've done a nice job of accumulating a lot of young, unproven talent. Now it's up to them to develop it.
Right, and they got to develop it at the minor league level because these are fairly young people we're mm-hmm. talking about. And that's the thing. Like, their best pitchers will not be with them this year anyway. It seems very unlikely. All right, we've got Bruce will join us next. We can talk about all these things, Mully and Haw on the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Arturo, your all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm doing great. Just a lot of, anxious moments getting ready for the season so early for the Cubs. Trying to prepare for Japan early is starting to take shape for Craig Counsell and the group. You're just looking at what type of pitchers he would use in game one, what type in game two. Where do you guys want to begin today?
Well, let's start with that. Didn't he say yesterday that that they got an early start so they don't have to push everybody, that they're going to try to
ramp
ease
up
into
early
the season? Yeah, they had to wrap up early so now they can make their way into the season without without making sure that they don't overuse anyone, etc. And by the way, Chris Flexen now on the Cubs, so that's interesting.
It's hard to look at that and wonder exactly where they're going with that, other than than depth. He does post, okay? We will say that about him. He will show up. He will throw a lot of innings, and the Cubs are looking for depth. If he's going to accept a minor league assignment at the beginning of the year, we'll have to see how that shakes out. But as far as Japan goes, Counsell said yesterday that he's really thinking about, after the starting pitcher in game one, he's going to use mostly bullpen guys. After the starting pitcher in game two, he's going to use starting pitchers so that all of his pitchers that they take on the trip get used. Nobody gets overused. No relief pitcher gets used 2 days in a row that early in the year. They don't want to start taxing people that early before, you have another 8 or 9 days before the regular season starts. And he wants to win those games, but he also wants to make sure he takes good care of his pitching staff.
Bruce, also on Monday, you were there, I believe, for Luis Robert Jr. addressing his status, the uncertainty surrounding whether or not he'll be traded by opening day, how he's handling it, and his feelings about playing the outfield versus DHing. What was your biggest takeaway after hearing from Luis Robert Jr.?
Well, that he really wants to stay with the White Sox, and that he had to go to his agent in the offseason and get talked down about why the White Sox are considering trading him. He just didn't quite understand the dynamic. Certainly we all know he had an underperforming season. He's been hurt twice. He's making, $15 million this year, $20 million options next year and the year after. Not the, certainly 38 home runs the year before. But he just didn't understand it. He felt that, he's with this organization. He wants to be with this organization forever, and he just needed to be talked down about it. So it's interesting. You go from player to player, players from different countries. They don't quite understand why they would move you and for what purpose that would be and how he would react to it.
I'm curious, when you think about the depth of the Cubs. We've talked about that this morning a little bit. Does that have to unfold to know what they have in camp? Does that take time to figure out who the backups are going to be and how they're going to play? And do you feel like they have upgraded or downgraded in terms of some of the people they let go?
Well, let's start with they've recognized the fact that their backups were not very good last year outside of Michael Tauchman. And again, you know, all due respect to those guys who busted it and just weren't up to that level. So you have to get better than that. Birdie is a really good start. Bruan is also a decent backup player, but that's not enough. You need a real backup first baseman. You need a real backup center fielder. They don't have it. I mean, Michael A. Taylor signing with the White Sox, it's the right city and the wrong team. He's an outstanding center fielder, defensive player. I talked to him at length yesterday at Sox camp about understanding his role as a backup now after being a starting player for a long time, but ready to be a starter again. That's the type of player you need. You need a outstanding center fielder. If Pete is number one struggling, or number two, you have a left-handed pitcher that council doesn't want to start him against. You know, you need that backup center fielder. You know, and they're out there looking for. They're out there looking for. You know, they're still looking at Justin Turner and the possibility of that. We're hearing he wants $6 to $7 million. To be a backup with the Cubs. It's a lot of money to pay for a backup. Not really a third baseman anymore, more a DH first baseman, but a great pedigree, great professional. You know, so they're kicking the tires on some of these players that are out there. Also, you have to watch all the rosters to make sure when teams are cutting guys, good teams that have players they can't put on their 26-man roster, who's willing to make trades near the middle and the end of spring training here. So these are all the things that Hoyer and Carter Hawkins are doing on a daily basis.
Maybe they can ask Theo for some advice if they want to build their roster out.
Does Theo play first?
What did you think of the Athletics report that the Red Sox and Craig Breslow used Theo Epstein's guidance and counsel in pursuing Alex Bregman and closing the deal?
Well, I think you'd be silly not to, right? I mean, he's right there. He's with the organization again. One of the more brilliant baseball guys that we've ever seen. Certainly on his way to the Hall of Fame as a young man at some point soon. But the reality is that you slow roll it. You don't show your hand. We didn't hear anything from the Red Sox for weeks and weeks, right? They were mentioned in the mix. But they were really quiet about and stealth about the way they were behind the scenes working on this deal and then jumping in with the highest bid by far for 1 year at a time, you know, $40 million a year times three. So that doesn't surprise me. Breslow's a really bright guy. He spent an awful lot of time, you know, with the Chicago Cubs. And you know, he's in the right position. He should have been a GM, and he is now.
I'm curious, Bruce, when you go to the White Sox camp, do you recognize anyone? Do you have your roster with you? How do you figure out who? I mean, I'm not joking. I mean,
Brooks Boyer, Scott Rifer, Bob Bechtel.
No, I mean player-wise. Are there a lot of guys
that you have yet to, honestly? Yeah, no, it is. It is, and I do. I do study, you know, the media list, the guide that they put out with the players on it, and I have to look at faces of new acquisitions to make sure, you know, I recognize them if they're not standing at their locker. You know, you have the advantage as a media person when they're at their locker, they're not always at their locker. So, you know, you're out there, they don't always have their uniform top on when they're out there, you know, practicing. Sure. So you want to be able to report properly. It's a great question, and it is a lot of extra work with the White Sox because they have so many new guys.
We were talking about Andrew Vaughn, then we were talking about Michael Bush, and we were having the debate over which one was maybe a little bit better. But it made me wonder this about Michael Bush. As much as the Cubs love him, is he going to this year play against left-handed pitching? Because at times, didn't he platoon last year? And obviously, they may want to do that again this year. But is that a foregone conclusion, Bruce?
No, it's not. And again, it's certainly worth visiting the idea that, you know, and Pete Crow Armstrong falls into the same area. Can they hit left-handers? You know, these are two really good young players. I think Bush has gained enough confidence from Council to be able to go out there and face a lot of left-handers now. Now, will he find spots for him where he doesn't play him? Yeah, but he believes he's an everyday player, can perform against lefties, and again, can he be a way above average player? I think he had an outstanding rookie year, even though he's a little older as a rookie than most. I think he's 27 now, but you know, from all indication, he was the most improved defensive player in the National League last year from the beginning to the end. If you remember him bobbling balls and not being able to handle the position as far as range went initially, I think he became one of the better first basemen in the National League last year as the season went on.
When you watch the White Sox, I know I'm asking you too many questions about this, but I'm curious because you know we don't know some of these names, but I'm wondering if the level of play is higher than it was a year ago. In other words, are you seeing what the double play combination is, and does that look like they can turn a double play, or is it? Am I just, you know, fantasizing?
Again, that's one of the more interesting things coming out of camp, more into the regular season with Montgomery winning that job. The front office wants to see him making the average play in spring training, right? Mm-hmm. Looking relaxed at the position, you know, working hard with whoever they do put at second base. And they want to see, look, it's the most important position on the field. I don't think, you know, most shortstops are the defensive captain, you know, even if they don't have that title. He's got to be able to, you know, make the relays, you know, be confident out there, get confidence from the other players. So I think that's the storyline of this spring training is, you know, can Montgomery start to push through, be an important player, and play a position that's really, really difficult in the major leagues. So that is the storyline for the White Sox outside of, you know, who the other position players are going to be. But, you know, talking to him yesterday, he's an extremely confident young guy. Also understands that he's got a lot to prove after a wonky first half last year and a very good second half last year. Home runs are going to be there at some point. Is he going to make enough contact so he breaks 200? I think he hit 214 last year. It's going to have to be better than that.
Yeah. Good stuff, Bruce.
Great, Bruce. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is Bruce Levine. Always fun to talk.
Colton Montgomery's a sturdy guy. He's sturdy. He looks sturdy when I saw him on video. I could recognize him. Did not recognize many other guys.
No, it's difficult. Yeah, he stands out because he's a tall drink of water. How tall is he?
6'4".
Yeah, he looks like he can dunk.
He certainly can dunk. He can shoot it a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Play a little D.
I don't think that helps much in baseball.
Can help the Bulls.
Good. Yeah.
Can he help the White Sox?
Okay. Eventually. But is it immediate? We got Mike Florio next. A lot to talk to Mike about. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't beat, beat!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Michael. How are you, sir?
Doing great. How are you?
We live the dream. Big day today. Well, not so big, but it's the first day that you could offer a franchise tag if you wanted to tag someone. Obviously, you have until March 4th, so the idea would be you kind of wait and try to negotiate and not just slap a tag on someone, but there are a lot of candidates out there. We talked earlier about your Minnesota Vikings and what they're going to do with Sam Darnold.
Well, we interviewed Kevin O'Connell Friday of Super Bowl week, the morning after he was named the NFL Coach of the Year for 2024. And he told us that Sam Darnold has earned the right to become a free agent. I interpret that as code for we're not applying the franchise tag. And it would cost about $40 million fully guaranteed on a one-year deal. I think they are content to let him see what's out there because they're not prepared to make that kind of financial commitment if he would see that the interest isn't at the financial level or with an appropriately competitive team, because he's already lived through the experience of the Jets and the Panthers. Maybe he would be willing to come back at a reduced rate below that $40 million. There is a reason for a team that is intent on using the tag to do it sooner than later. The scouting combine is next week. That's also known as Tampering Central. And if you want to let the other teams know, don't waste your time trying to negotiate with the agent for this player. You put the franchise tag on, and then they know there's no point. That's the only reason to do it before the deadline. We've seen that happen in the past. This year, Darnold and T. Higgins of the Bengals are the two that stand out. It's possible that no one gets tagged for the first time since 1996.
Mike, I think yesterday we saw Jonathan Martin tell ESPN that he was never bullied back in 2013. Richie Incognito coming back at you via Twitter. And I applaud you for the defense of your reporting back in that time. Where is this story headed and how big of a deal is it?
Well, I don't know where it's headed. Look, this all came from a very long article about where Jonathan Martin is now that landed last Wednesday on ESPN.com, 3 days after the Super Bowl. And when it first popped up on the ESPN.com NFL page, I saw the picture of Martin and my thought was, who is that? And then I saw what the article was. And I was like, why are we doing this now? And why is there this long article? And with those long articles that, frankly, and this pisses off the people who write those long articles, but there's a lot of fluff there. It's hard to spot the news. And the news was buried. And it's important to get specifically accurate what he said. He said he never believed he was bullied, but his parents were the ones that pushed this. That doesn't change the results of the Ted Wells report, which was issued on Valentine's Day of 2014. Now, we learned with Deflategate that maybe Ted Wells has a habit of gleaning what the person who hires him to do an investigation wants and working backward to justify that conclusion. So I think there are some fair questions to raise post-Deflategate, and we've made that point in the past. We made it in 2015, that maybe we need to take a second look at the Ted Wells report. But, you know, here's the key. I was finding some old articles about that controversy. After the Wells report came out, Incognito's lawyer said, we're going to perform a full and complete analysis of the report, and we will release that analysis when it's done. That was February 14, 2014. 11 years later, we're still waiting for that analysis, presumably rebuttal of all the things that Wells concluded Incognito did. For Martin to say after the fact, I never believed I was bullied, doesn't change the results of the Wells report. And unless and until Incognito or his lawyer or anyone else fully and completely rebuts the allegations and the findings, factual findings that may be flawed, but Incognito has every right, even now, he's got every right to release a full and complete rebuttal to the report. The report still lives online. So this whole thing was just strange to me. And there is a certain irony in a guy who was accused of bullying trying to bully media members on social media to say he never did anything wrong. Yes. It was all made up. It was all fabricated.
Mike, help us out with this Netflix deal. They're interested now in getting Sunday afternoon games. That's kind of news, and obviously they can't right away, but how much will the bidding go up?
When they did the two Christmas games, and at some point over the course of the last year, it's become obvious the NFL is eventually going to have a full season package of Sunday morning 8:30 a.m. Central games played primarily in Europe, and they're going to sell that package to the highest bidder. And I thought, hey, Netflix is perfect for this. They've got the international reach. You've got games that are played early in the U.S., but later in the day in time zones in Europe, etc. And whoever I was talking to, and I can't remember who it was, said, no, I don't think Netflix is going to settle for that. They want a real package. And the chief content officer for Netflix told Puck that, yes, they're interested in a Sunday afternoon package, which would mean boxing out, with the writing of a gigantic check, Fox or CBS, just like Fox boxed out CBS in 1994. CBS boxed out NBC in 1998. I think the real takeaway here is when this current wave of broadcast deals expires in 2029, because the league will exercise its right to cancel the current deals 4 years early, you're going to have more people at the table than there are plates. And that's always good for the NFL, because that means the people who want the packages are going to have to overpay to get them. And Netflix is going to help drive up the price that whoever gets those packages will pay, even if Netflix isn't one of them. It's going to drive up the price for everyone else, and the NFL wins. Now, fans would say we lose because now we got to have a streaming package that we pay for, and the price keeps going up and up for Netflix, if you haven't noticed, to watch the Sunday afternoon games. It's got the potential to lead to chaos, but we've kind of seen the chaos coming as the NFL, I don't know whether pivots is the right word or forces the issue, but the NFL has embraced streaming. That's not going away. If anything, it's only going to expand.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you a ton.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. We're going to bring on Jen McCaffrey next, talk about Theo's role in Boston. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.